was talking to a friend of mine a little while back who's a priest, and he served for a while as the vocations director for a religious order. And he was telling me that, you know, they would work with young men who are considering a vocation, and if it got to the point where the young man was serious and might be considering actually entering into seminary, he would go and he would talk with the family, and he would speak with the parents. And he would always look. He said there was an indicator that he could always tell whether the young man had a vocation or not. And you wonder what that indicator was. When he would talk to the parents about their son possibly having a vocation, he would watch the mother. And if the mother cried, he knew the boy had a vocation. If she didn't respond, he knew the boy didn't. And I said, well, you know, how come the mom crying was the indicator? And he said, well, deep down, the mothers knew whether their son had a vocation or not. And the ones that did, they would respond emotionally because they knew their son had a vocation. And they knew that this was such a pivotal moment in their lives. And they understood the implications. And if they knew their son didn't have a vocation, then they didn't care and they didn't react in the same way. So he didn't look at the dad's response. He wouldn't look at the siblings. It wasn't even what the boy said that was the main indicator. It was the response of the mother. Because deep down, the mothers usually knew what their son's vocation was. So I was thinking about it. Why is it that the mothers know that? You know, sometimes you'll hear people talk about a mother's intuition. They just know things. Well, I think that that's probably part of it. I don't know if it's some supernatural revelation. Or, you know, I think in part, it's because that mothers know their children so well. You know, they spend so much time with them, and they observe them so carefully growing up. That they know each one of their children's unique temperaments, you know, what they're interested in, what they're passionate about, you know, what really is important to them. You know, they watch them carefully as they grow up, and they see how they interact with their friends and with their siblings. They see how they behave at church and their attitude towards the faith and towards prayer. And they see the virtues of their children, you know, the gifts, the strengths and weaknesses. You know, the mothers carefully observe that, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, they're paying attention and they take those things to heart. And, you know, mothers never forget anything. I realized that with my own mother. As once in a while, she tells me stories about things I said, you know, 25 years ago. You know, they remember these things, and they play them over in their minds, and they reflect on them. And because of that, they know their children so well that they even know usually what their kids' vocations are. And then my friend who was the vocations director observed that. He knew that the mothers, more than anything else, knew their sons. In today's gospel, as we look at the Feast of Mary, the Mother of God, you know, we have this line: after the shepherds are announced that a Savior has been born to them, and they go and they visit Mary and Joseph and the newborn child, and they recount what the angel said to them. It says that Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. You know, just as any mother does, you know, Mary is the perfect mother, gives us this example of meditation and contemplation. You know, she carefully listens to every word. And we hear this not only when with the announcement that the shepherds give to her, but we hear this multiple times. You know, this is one of the things that we hear about Mary most often, is she kept those things, reflecting on them in her heart. We hear that again and again throughout the Gospels. You know, she gives us the model of how to truly know Jesus Christ on a very deep and profound level. You know, the level of a mother's knowledge of her own son. You know, I think fairly often, you know, when we're at Mass and we hear the gospel thing, the words just go in one ear and out the other. And sometimes 2 hours into the day, we can't even remember what the gospel was about. And sometimes we just let those words come in and come out, and we don't reflect on them with the attention that they're due. And so we can look at the example of Mary, who was the best disciple of our Lord, the preeminent disciple of the Lord, in order to learn how to know Christ more intimately. So the first thing that's important for us to do is to carefully study Scripture. And when we're in prayer, if we receive any little insights, to carefully pay attention to those and to look for the tiniest details. You know, when we're reading Scripture, we should be going through it carefully, looking for the slightest indicators we can of what's going on in Christ's heart and in his actions and what that reveals. You know, we should be carefully poring through Scripture. You know, as a mother observing her child would carefully, you know, study the actions and what her child says. Second, we need to replay those over and over again in our heads. You know, sometimes we miss something the first time we read Scripture, or the second time, or the third time. Sometimes we can read Scripture 15 times and not get something until the 16th time or the 20th time. So it's important for us to replay Scripture. You know, if we're studying the Sunday readings, to go over them again and again and again and again, and to visualize, put ourselves in the scenes, and to replay them in our mind, you know, visualizing what Christ would be doing, what his posture would be doing. Play them over and over again. And the final step is to remember and cherish what we learn about our Lord, what that reveals to us, and to always seek to be going deeper. You know, we shouldn't approach Scripture and say, well, I've already read it before, and so I know what's going to happen, so I'm not going to get anything new out of this. You know, if we do that, of course we're not going to get anything out of it. But if we're constantly seeking for new insights and to go deeper and to learn more about Christ, then over time we will. We'll discover things in Scripture that we haven't noticed before. Or when we're meditating on the rosary, we'll discover things that we haven't come across before. So I think as we begin the new year, you know, looking at the example of Mary and the example she gives us of meditation and contemplation. You know, I think this is a time where a lot of people make New Year's resolutions about diets or exercise or, you know, time management, all sorts of different things. The most important thing is, how deeply do we know Christ? You know, how deep is our relationship with him? Do we know him as deeply as a mother knows her child? And to seek that level of depth and intimacy in our relationship with our Lord. And if we do that, our year is going to be filled with tremendous blessings. You know, blessings come ultimately from Christ, from our Lord. And so the more deeply and the more intimately we know him, the more blessed our year is going to be. So our first reading gives us the blessing, the great priestly blessing of Aaron. And so hopefully this year is a year filled with many blessings for all of us and for our families. And the greatest blessing of all, to know Christ more intimately. And if we seek that knowledge, then we should seek to imitate Mary's example of meditation and contemplation.